One of the nuggets that Mr. Roberts shared with you was to self-examine yourself and see what areas of your life you may need improvement in. And if you're not sure, ask your spouse. They'll know. Amen? Praise God. This morning, I want to share with you along the lines of why, probably, if not mostly, why you're connected here and you call this your church family. In this last couple years, we've added new families. A lot of them are here today, not all of them, but a lot of them are here. And what I want to do this morning is I want to lay out to you something that I believe is very significant as we're training up to be disciplers to others, and that's where we've been focusing. You know, we've shared in here, if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're a convert. You've been converted from old man to new man. And you're content, that's great, but I don't believe if this is where you call home is where you're satisfied with. I believe that the reason why people have connected is because we have a specific vision. Now, if I was to throw out to you this morning and ask you how many in here, if I had you stand, could tell me what is the vision of Shield of Faith, I'm going to tell you that some of the oldies but goldies that have been here a few years might know, but some of the new ones, they just love the word or they love the worship. But let's lay it out today. Helen Keller has got a saying, and many of you know who Helen Keller was, could not see, could not hear. And she says there's only one thing worse than being blind. She says, it's being able to see but have no vision. And we know what the scripture says in Proverbs 29:11. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people in that environment will cast off any restraint. In other words, they get rid of the self-disciplines that God provided with you when they have no vision or don't know where they're going. And Habakkuk then challenges spiritual leadership, lay out the vision, write it down, make it clear so that people can connect with it and then they can run to make it be completed. Amen. So if you know the vision and so forth, you'll understand why we harp and we hammer in this dimension, because I believe it's so significantly important that you understand why you call this your church home. Why God has drawn you into this relationship. Now, look at me. You know you'll never hear me criticize other Christian works. In fact, I encourage people, if they can't connect here, to connect someplace. Because I believe it's a mandate of God. Those that get planted in the house of the Lord are going to flourish in the courts of their God, and they'll bear fruit as they get older. And those that aren't planted, the opposite. And I could list today and go all those that one time had a fire all over them, and all of a sudden they got less and less. They prioritize other things. Pretty soon you don't see them. Not because they connected someplace else. They just figured, well, I've got it now. I'm a convert. I'm going to heaven. And sadly, I watched their lives fall apart. Many of them go home early and pass from this life into the next. And all I can say is, God, I'm not going to give my joy and peace up, but I do know what works. Sister had communicated just this week, somebody that used to go here years ago and wanted to know what I thought of doing a particular, her wedding. And I shared this from the goodness and the fatherly heart. I said, sister, this is what you need to do. Get connected to a local church and get accountable to a body and become part of that body. And then ask that pastor if he will marry you, because he will keep you accountable. He will keep you connected. And you have a whole lot more of a chance of surviving and being long-term. Right. I've been in this too long. I know what works. I know what doesn't work. When you disconnect from a body, it doesn't have to be Shield of Faith. But I'm telling you, if you're connected here, this is why you're connected. Because of the vision that God has given to us, that you connect with. You've written, you've read it, you've seen it. We used to have a banner, equipping warriors for the ministry to others. And we would use that year in and year out. A soldier is anybody that enlists in God's army. A warrior is somebody that's encountered battle after battle after battle, and they're battle tested. In other words, if you've been hooked up here, you're not just going to have a life of ease. You're going to be warring and fighting on behalf of others. And if you're content not doing that, I'm not saying there aren't converts that can stay here, but I'm telling you what drives men and women of God is the passion to free those that are enslaved. Amen. Whether it's enslaved to their past, or they're enslaved to religiosity, or they're enslaved to their current situations. God is calling us to be free. And He's calling ministries as we pray. All week, we lift up all the Christian ministries in this area. We pray for them all to succeed, that God to shake and give them support. Churches are closing left and right, and some might say, well, that's good. You got to realize, folks, many of those are on the same team as we're on. And what happens is depression sets in and fatigue sets in, and they're drying up. And it's not our part to hope that they dry up. Yeah, I know the scripture, let the dead bury the dead, but these are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I believe the mandate we have, if you've traveled with me as Pastor Mike, is my whole mission is encourage pastors. We're on the same team. Come on, let's work together. Let's make a difference in this area. I don't care what your theology says. I know what the Word of God says. He's got one head, it's Jesus, and He's got a whole body of believers. And He places believers under a certain vision so that they can be who God's called us to be, so we can fulfill the testimony of what's in our hearts, and that's why God brings you here. Because it's not just about you. You have something inside you that wants to give it away. You want to help others. And if not, it's okay. I'm not driving out converts, because I want to spend, and I will spend eternity with you. But I believe our foundation, many don't even know that this mission was established on four Christian principles. We used to have that on the bottom of our thing, and I'm going to just give them to you. If you want, they're on the sheet. I gave them to Lynn to type up. You can highlight them. You can look at your version, but you need to know that's the foundation of Shield of Faith. The first scripture, John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus walking the earth. This was His mandate. Listen to it. He says, a new commandment I give you this day, to love others as you love yourself. By this commandment, the world will know that you're mine by the love you have one for another. A number one driver here is love for others and not just for yourself. And the second foundational scripture that we laid here is found in 2 Corinthians 5:18. But let me preface it with 17. 17 says, if any man be in Christ, they're a new creature. Old passes away. Behold, all things become new. Now listen. And Jesus, through the Father God, has reconciled us to Jesus and has given every believer, say every believer means me, a ministry of reconciliation. And then it goes on to explain, if you don't understand that big word, reconciling people to Jesus. Our mandate isn't just to get saved. Thank God for 2 Corinthians 5:17. But now we are full-time ministers because we've been given a ministry to get people to Jesus. And then it goes on, and as you read down in 6, it says, we then are workers together with a ministry. Amen. Trying to tap in. 28 years we celebrated last week. 28 years since this ministry was birthed. Actually, it's 29 because it was sent out September of 1989. We waited 8 months before we started a church because people within the church that we were transitioning out of in another county was saying, oh, pastor, there's a bunch that want to come with us. I don't want a bunch coming with us. I want who God wants with us. So we took 8 months. We sought God's face. God, what do you want us to do? And he said this, and he laid this out to my wife and I. He says, you will call yourself Shield of Faith. And I thought, huh, Shield of Faith. That's the armor of God we're all to put on. But he says, above all that armor, lift up the shield of faith that will be able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. And when you look up fiery darts, it's what people are going to say against us. You're going to have to raise up the shield of faith because you're not called to reciprocate and to attack those that attack you. You stand and behold and let God do what he's got to do and be a blessing to others. And so we realize, shield of faith. Some says, well, you name yourself shield of faith because you're kind of in shield. That just happens to kind of go with it. Well, you did that because you always have seen yourself as a warring. Yep, always have. But the part of the armament was the shield of faith that would quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Look at me, church. A lot of times the enemies are not in the opposite camp. Sometimes our enemies become those that are also saved on the same team. And the Lord has taught us how to deal with those, not to put them down, not to pray against them, not to shut their mouths, but to forgive them and ask God not to lay it to their account. And the enemy hates that because he doesn't want us to be in love with the body of Christ. I got news for you. We are. And whether you go Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, I have built relationships with all those denominations, and I know there are people that are never going to leave those denominations, and if they got to stay in there, we don't want them to get beat up and fall out. We want them to be encouraged, we want them to be strengthened, and we want to know we're not their enemy. We're on the same team. It's just you were drawn here because you could relate with what's going on. And the third scripture, found in Galatians 6:10. And I like 9. Well, I'll preface it with 9. Grow not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Kind of like one of the words we heard this morning. Verse 10 says, listen, as you have opportunities, which means we're going to have them, do good unto all. All is all humanity, but especially do good unto the body or the household of faith, which is other believers, whether they go to Shield of Faith, whether they go to the First Church on the left, whether they're part of Community Baptist, whether they're part of Faith Harvest, whether they're part of Swan Valley Church of the Nazarene, whether they're part of Spirit-Filled Lighthouse, we are on the same team and we are not each other's enemies. And that's why I've heard people say, Pastor, we've gone places, we come back, because you're for real there. You're transparent. That's exactly where we need to stay. Because we are all to be transparent, and we're all to be ministers to others. And if that's your mandate, that's why you would get excited. It's like people say, why do you try not to ever miss? I don't want to miss anything. Well, you're not ministering this week, Pastor Mike is. I don't want to minister what he's releasing. I don't want to miss it. I want to hear it. And that's your mandate. This has become, as Pastor Mike says, this is your home away from home. Thank you, body, for helping pay our lights. Thank you for paying our mortgage. Thank you. Once we get Pastor Phil's part, love gifts coming in from you guys and outsiders will amount to around $31,000 to get to where we're at right now. We're not going to go in debt. We're going to believe God. And I thank you guys for standing up to the plate. Many of you go on vacation and you realize we still got to pay our bills. So you make sure your giving still stays here. God bless you on keeping your church family in your heart and not just when you're here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Warriors. Trained in war. Some of us, my wife got a vision a number of years ago. And it was so real to her when she shared it. It showed us now coming before Jesus. And all the different armies were coming. And they were all celebrating as those around the throne were celebrating. And then all of a sudden, there was this ragtag, beat up, scarred, not the best of equipment, coming down the aisle, and they had been in the battle. You could tell they were wounded. They were still bleeding. They were warriors. And as they crept in, there was a little bit of snickering that she heard going on in the crowd. And all of a sudden, Jesus silenced them and said, the reason why you better not, the reason why a lot of you are here is because that work stood in the trenches and fought for your good, even though you don't realize it. And all of a sudden, there was a shout in heaven as men and women of war had stood up and said, thank God I got to be in a ministry that fulfilled our destiny and our call. And I fought the good fight, and I'm still standing. Wounded or not, I'm not going to let the world, I'm not going to redig my grave and come out in the flesh. I'm going to keep that dead man buried. Amen. Dead to self, I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Yes. And that's why you're connecting and why you're part. I believe with all my heart, we're not to pray for people to leave other works unless they're vegetating, they're drying up, and they need some fresh manna, and God is destined that they belong here because they want more than just going to church and putting in their time. They want to connect with a work that's not afraid to grow up and to make a difference in other people's lives. Which takes us to the fourth foundational scripture. 2 Timothy 2:2. And Paul was telling young Timothy, his spiritual son, Timothy, look out for other brothers and sisters that are faithful. Everybody say faithful. That will take what you've instructed them and will turn around and teach others. Reproducing self in others. Key factor, faithful. Find faithful women and men of God that don't want just their ears to be tickled, not just content coming to church, putting in their time, but they literally want to take what they've learned. And as a minister with the same Holy Ghost, they are going to go forth and set some other people free. I challenge our leadership all the time. Who are your Priscillas and Timothys? You're reproducing yourself in others. Why? Because it's not about any individual. It's about Jesus, and it's about imparting that to the next generation. So, shield of faith, above all things, quench the fiery darts. I'd like to stand up here, and my wife would always tell me, oh, honey, don't share this. Don't share this. Oh, no, don't share this. Honey, I love you, but I'm going to share it again. She says, you're sharing that. When you hook up the shield of faith, it's not a piece of cake. When you hook up here, it seems like all hell breaks out. Why do you think that's the case? Why do you think the flesh keeps wanting to be resurrected? Because the enemy hates where you're going and does not want you to stay free. Because if you can get enslaved to that old dead guy, you become ineffective for producing kingdom of heaven on earth as it's already going on in heaven. It's not going to keep you out of heaven. God bless if Jesus is your Lord, we're going to get to heaven. But I'm telling you, there's some warriors, when they connect the shield of faith, they do come under attack. Relationship attacks, family attacks. They may be even attacked not only by biological family, they can be attacked by spiritual brothers. So you're going to that work? Oh my gosh! You're over your head, and you need to just smile and says, it's okay, brothers and sisters. Where you're going is a blessing. We'll pray for you. We do not take it personally. My wife says, man, 28, 29 years. Do you know how many people we had in our first service in the front building in 1990, the first Sunday in May? We had 13 people. We had three families, two more, including the wife and I. And they lasted a little bit, and then they were gone, and then it's just the reproduction has happened. And here we are. Now, someone says, man, if God was in it, you should have thousands. And I've had people come in and say, my gosh, if what you're sharing, if more people would hear, you'd have thousands. For whatever reason, God doesn't want us to have thousands. So he's put in our heart that we need to have Gideon's army. It was 300. They're not afraid to get down and sap it up like a dog, man. We'll be in the trenches. We'll do whatever it's going to take because we are not sad. We may be content, but we're not satisfied. And I'm still looking to tap into that Pastor Mike that's going to keep people on fire. On fire for Jesus. Saginaw Valley has a remnant out there of believers that not only want to be free, but want to be used to free others. I believe you need to look around. We need to be very grateful for who has been planted here. But there's a whole bunch more that don't know, but want to be used to free others. Many people will come here and say, I never heard that we had the same Holy Ghost as you do, Pastor. Yeah, you do. I never heard that we're all ministers. Yep, you are. You're just trying to work yourself out of a job. Yes, I am. Because it's not about Pastor Weldon. It's about the body of Christ. And religiosity is going to say, jump through the hoops and get close to, and the higher you get, you'll have more revelations. I'm telling you what, Jesus imparts his kingdom, and you got everything that he'll reveal if you spend time and get it out.
Amen.
Your journey, your life took you to this place today. Nobody chose who you'd be born to. Nobody chose your journey. You got here, and I believe a lot of you came wounded and beat up. But you didn't come to quit. You came to get healed and then turn around and heal some others and to be used. See, the journey takes us all. This whole vision was around the journey that my wife and I had. It wasn't something we conjured up. Oh, let's go. I'm going to be raised and go to Bible school. I was raised in a Christian Protestant upbringing. My wife was raised in a Christian Catholic upbringing. You should have saw us for the first number of years. We were married at 17 and 18. First few years, we were taught to be committed to church life. We'd go to the Methodist church in Hemlock. Then we'd go to the Catholic church. And I'm not saying they're bad or they're good, but we were just putting in our time because we didn't want God to be mad at us. But we weren't growing up, and it came a challenging time in our life. At 24 and 25, my wife turns to me. You've heard the story and said, if this is for real, no, she said this. We aren't going to make it. And I thought, what? We're not going to make it? How are we not going to make it? She says, unless Jesus becomes real. Remember 2 weeks ago when I ministered on Mighty Women of God? It's the women that God's blessed us with, says, unless it's real. And I just jerked to attention. Okay, honey, what do you want to do? And she took me because she heard she was working at Dow Medical Plant. She took me to this church on Shattuck and Mackinac. And there was two of them there, and we didn't know which one to go. We went into this one, and we're in the midst of, we believe, around 600 people. We sit as quiet as mice in that service. We looked at each other, didn't say anything. There was a tongues interpretation and all this. And I leaned over one time, says, we're the only two normal people in here. All the way back to Hemlock, where I was living at the time, I said, honey, if what they have is real, that's where I want to go. And it was shortly after that we got baptized in the Holy Ghost, got our prayer language. It was phenomenal. But this is what I'm trying to share with you. This is why I believe God was able to birth the heartbeat here. We were not religionized. Even though we grew up in church, we weren't connected to the internal theology. And so you've got to have a lot of grace and mercy on people that grow up and they do get theologized. That's all they know. You can't hold it against them. You think you're doing what you know is right, but God shows us what he wants us to be. And you know what happened? Because nobody was telling us that we couldn't minister. All we did was minister to people. She at Dow set up a Bible study, and they were meeting weekly. She had Catholics and Baptists and all kinds of people gathering in the medical plant, and they were having Bible study at lunch. I started Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Hemlock. We had kids from all different backgrounds coming together to pray together and be a part of that together. We never knew we weren't supposed to do this because we weren't ministers. We just figured we were ministers. All those 5 years, they tried to hook us up to do things in the church, and we never got a witness, thank God, to get religionized, to get set up. I talked to people in there that I love, and he says, oh, yes, we're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Thursday night. I'm thinking, how do you minister to your neighbors? Our neighbors, I don't even know who they are. I'm thinking, we're really touching the world. We get saved, and we hide in the church. I don't want that. And my wife sat under 100 hours of submissive teaching. And after about 70 of it, I said, I hate this, honey. I don't like you that way. Well, and I says, ax that. And you know, PK, can you imagine 100 hours of... So I know the scripture says submit to your husband and everything, but preceding that says we're all to submit one to another. They had us like we were subservient. Like she, I said, honey, get out of that. You're a powerful woman of God. Thank God I didn't get religionized that told her women cannot say anything in a church setting. Nonsense. Mary Magdalene took the first evangelistic message. Chloe was a pastor. Women have been used throughout the Bible. But religion wants you locked in. After 5 years, we were asked to help a little smaller Assembly of God start. Now you need to realize we're still filled. Now we're getting hit with Word of Faith. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, all these, and we're loving it. We're in another phase. So I thought, how do we get this congregation? It was a Pentecostal congregation, about 50 people. How can we get them on fire? And I thought, they don't have a Sunday night service and they don't have music. Now, if you've ever heard me sing, you would have a lot of prayer my way. But I was not afraid to become the singer, my wife on the piano, so we had a Sunday night service. We didn't know that we weren't, and we just began to exhort. We had people up praising God until the pastor says, I need to meet you at your house. And the pastor says, I do not want any Kenneth Hagin, Copeland, or any of that Word of Faith coming from my pulpit. And I said, I submit, I understand that, and we resigned. And I says, Lord, you got something in mind. So we connected to this country church in a dome. And we were told by this pastor, oh, yeah, they're on fire. They really want to go for God. Well, they just broke from the Presbyterians. So we said, well, we'll do worship. They didn't have worship leaders. Now, remember, I'm part of the worship team. It was PK and me. We happened to find a worship group. Some of you remember back Gethsemane. It was a group, Christian group. They became our back. We made them our background. So I'm up there exhorting, and I'm saying, let's worship God in this church that was supposed to be on fire. And I said, come on, stand up. Let's worship God. And they stood up like this. Now, my wife, because they didn't want the piano too noisy, they had her face the wall. She's facing a wall, and I'm facing the congregation. And my wife is telling me, honey, look at me, you know, look out there, and I'm thinking, because she's noticing I'm looking down a lot. I says, honey, you don't see what I'm looking at. It's total resistance. But it did explode, and there were people that heard, and they began that wanted to worship, and we had people come from all over. We started a Bible study then at the same time out where we live, way out in the boonies in Marion Springs. And we didn't know any better. We just started to pray for people, minister. We had over 50 people get saved. We had some enormous miracles. People were getting healed left and right. We had 80-some-year-old people getting healed. We had kids getting. We packed our bait. We couldn't fit them anymore. And guess what? Nobody said we couldn't do that because we weren't part of the religious system. And I hadn't yet gone to Bible school that will tell you, don't get people too excited because you don't want to scare people off. We want to woo them in by putting them to sleep. I don't think so. And we were there. We went to, then finally we did go to Bible school. And my wife, of course, you've heard me say she was a student of the year, of course. And we gleaned. Every place we've gleaned from every work. But I thought, honey, everywhere we go, people are drawn, and they want to be empowered. The only way we're going to be able to empower people, we've got to set up something and start telling people, you're ministers. Start ministering. Because what I found in the church, nobody's praying for their co-workers. Nobody's leading co-workers to the Lord. Nobody's praying that people get healed and set free. And I'm thinking, something's wrong with that picture. They're thinking, not me. I got to get them to somebody that's powerful. Somewhere they got to change your thinking and realize that they have the kingdom within them, that they've got a Holy Ghost in them, that all things they can do through Christ Jesus, they need to be empowered to get free. Come on. Amen. And so we began, and we watched people come and go, and the ones that would stay are ones that wanted to continuously, like the Chap and the Jackies and the Ruthies. We see it. Ruthie says, whatever you do, Pastor, keep praying. This was 27 years ago. Don't stop praying. And we haven't stopped. And we pray 5 days a week, and we pray that you will continuously be empowered. But whatever the tool is, what will keep people on fire? My wife and I, back 24 and 25, we're in our 60s now. We're still on fire. We haven't lost it. It's not because we're pastors. It's because we're filled with God. Amen. And we have a mission to release that upon others. And so do you. This isn't a Weldon and Kathy give a show. This is a Weldon and Kathy that are filled with the power of God to be releasers. And the Priscillas and the Timothys that will train up their children. Amen. So your children don't have to go through the hell that a lot of you went through. I challenge the men all the time. Come on, men. You know how your mind operates as an old guy, or even as the old man. You know why you were trying to set things up with girls. It wasn't necessarily right. Right? Yes. So how about we call forth the fathers that will pray for the children of Shield of Faith and other children, that they not be violated, that they wait and they have a beautiful marriage and their wives and their husbands learn together. That's God's best. Thank God we impart that. And those that didn't have that and went through it, thank God He forgives us. He's not holding any of that over you. You've gone through a divorce or two, that don't make you less. It just gives you more equipment. So now you can say, I did it once, but this time I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to be a lone ranger. I'm going to break through my self-induced fears. Because God gives me no spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. Here we are, church, 2018. We are not done. Because He hasn't come back yet. And many of you that have joined us need to realize that's how we came to this understanding. This isn't about people in the pulpit. It's about Jesus in the pulpit. It's about people seeing who they are in Christ and begin to operate. And to break through and out of the same things you got freed from before Christ. And you stay free. And compassion, there's nothing that excites me more, and I know Pastor Mike too, than to hear testimonies coming in. Yeah, let him this one, Lord. I prayed for this person. I gave you homework, pray. And you don't know how many people did their homework and prayed. I have people on Facebook coming in. I did my homework. I'm not there, but I'm praying for you. God bless you on Facebook. If you don't have a home-based church and you're able to, I challenge you to get into a local church, though. Thank God for your support. But you are being missed at a local church that needs you. And you need them. It's kind of looking at a screen. It's kind of funny. Amen. Thank God for technology that when you do have to miss, you can stay on target and you can see where you're at. I was so blessed. I did a funeral, come back, and I had aunts and uncles. Oh, I want to watch you on Facebook. I didn't know you're on there. So that happened to be the Mother's Day that it didn't tape. I had no problem. I told Pastor Mom, I'm not going to lose my joy and peace. If they're diligent, they'll keep tuning in. Because it isn't about me. It's about them and receiving what God's releasing here, there. Amen. Some of you may take a number of years like Richard and leading people to the Lord and so forth. Would have thought never would have happened. You know what? Because you grow not weary in well-doing. Because you're looking. My gosh, Ruthie in the hospital, how many times every time I'm up there, she's either leading someone to the Lord or she's having me pray for people. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't like to put her in the hospital. Because it's dangerous turf for people to get saved and healed. Shouldn't that be the way? You know, Pastor Mike said before we started, says, you know what? We should be, if Shield of Faith wasn't here, this community should miss us. I mean, you guys would miss us because you come here, but this community should fill a void if we're not here. You know why? Because we are trying to make things beautiful. We are trying to be a blessing to our neighbors. We pray for the businesses around here. We're always looking to be a blessing. You won't believe how many churches in this area that were struggling that we planted love gifts in because we want them to know we're on the same team. And they're not our enemies. Thank God. I wrote a letter that to our local church that buses kids in for Sunday school, and I heard it was read in front of the whole congregation. I'm telling you, when we see we're on the same team, can you imagine how that upsets the devil? So you're here not to be an elitist Shield of Faith group. You're here because you want to be a blessing to others. And you want to help free some people. Thank you, Jesus. So what PK and I have learned, I'm going to close with this. We've learned that religion kills and a relationship heals. Relationship with Jesus and with people. Make the cross. That's what it's all about. That most believers don't see themselves as full-time ministers, and we got to get that change. This is not Weldon's doctrine. This is the Word of God. Amen. That you as a believer are called to be a minister to others. Another point here, most persecution of believers has been coming from other believers. Just make sure that's not you. Because I don't want you to reap what you're sowing. The Lord will not love you any less, but you'll reap a harvest of stuff you don't need. Forgive whoever's hurt you. For lay it not to their account. Stand back up and let's get back in battle. Amen. Most leadership is trapped in the religious thinking. And I'm asking this church body to have a lot of mercy on leadership and other denominational structures. I had a pastor one time from a Methodist church says, Pastor, I wish I had the kind of faith you had to start a church non-denominational. I turned as straight can be, and I told him, takes more faith, I believe, to do what you're doing, to let some board that doesn't even live in the city tell you what you can and can't do and then try to regulate your service. I'm thinking, that takes faith. I would feel like my arms are strapped and tied down. That's why when people come here, they feel the liberty. You can sit down and worship, and God loves you just as much if you're standing, jumping up, and hollering. But if you want to stand up and jump and holler, you're welcome. Because He inhabits our praises, however they are. Most Christians are content with Sunday service. I can travel, and people say, well, yep, I got a good word Sunday. Great. Now, what you doing with it? Lynn will know, I used to send teams to go to conferences, and they come back and tell me how great, they're great, man. And I'd stay quiet. And then after we'd done it a few times, I said, well, why are you quiet? I don't want to hear about good conferences. I want to see how they change lives. Show me something what's changed your life. I want that. Because if it's changing lives, we need to get it. If it's just tickling ears and get you excited and get you all emotional, that's great for a season. But if you get back up and you don't look to change lives, we're missing it. Right. We're missing it. You see yourself as life changers? Amen. I'm not trying to rush anybody out. I'm just trying to enforce why. You'll drive all the way from Midland like Kathy and Tim do, or drive all the way from Burt. Like Jackie and Adam do, or drive all the way from Birch Run, like the Barneses do, or drive all the way from whatever your destination is, because you want what's going on, and you want to take it, and you want to give it away freely. That's why you're here. That's why. So I leave you with this. If you're asked what the vision is, tell somebody what your vision is. And hopefully it's going to be the same vision that's here. We all got different personalities. But we're all called to the same function. Go and make disciples. And the more, there's coming a day, Pastor Mike, we're going to get excited because we're going to have so many testimonies of you laying hands on sick people and you leading people to the Lord, we won't have time to give them all. Because you will have crossed over the divide to see yourself, wow, I got the same Holy Ghost pastor does. I can sit up here and share all my testimonies, and I used to share them all the time. People getting slain in public schools, wrestlers of mine, hernias disappearing and getting healed. And that all sounds great, but what I found is unless you start doing it, we're not producing ourselves. It's not about you loving and hearing good things about me. I remember one time when I was sharing the time when the Lord had me raise my dad from the dead. Now, he's 97 now, so he told me, whatever you do, don't raise me again. Don't do it. But I found myself doing that. So what happened when people were passing, they're getting a hold of me. Oh, Pastor Weldon can raise them. Get a hold of him. And you know, it's hard not to think more highly of yourself when people are ragging how you're raising the dead until you realize, I didn't raise anybody. I don't heal anybody. That's Jesus. He's the only healer. So although you understand my dad would say that because he doesn't want me to pray that he comes back to life. Because when they were coming with the paddles to shock him because his doctor was back in another surgery and I wasn't worrying about the paddles. He was gone. I grabbed him by the scuff of his neck, my father, you know, who I respect, and I commanded life back into him. And as soon as it came, he came back. It was like celebration. And all the people in the hospital were going, and they called, what kind of religion are you, folk? We're Christian. We believe in the power of God. And it's not about Weldon. It's about whosoever. Someone said, I've never had that happen. How many people have you prayed? I tell you the times when I had wrestlers' dads have a heart attack and die, and I rode the whole ambulance praying life back into them, and nothing happened. You need to hear that also. The thing is, when we only share when it happens, you put us in a box instead of realizing it. God decides who makes it and doesn't, but we have to do our part. We've tried to raise people out of caskets, young kids. We realized that we're supposed to live this, and we would do it. The funeral director would leave, and we'd be in there jerking a hole because, you know, Smith Wigglesworth did. We're ready to jerk them out. Well, what kind of pastor do I have here? I'm telling you what, I'm after God. I'll do whatever I got to do to let God show up. Now, he's fine-tuned me to understand it's not me, it's him. But I'm telling you, that's what you've got. It's not you, it's him. And if you allow him to use you, you'll be astounded at the excitement that'll break forth at your workplace, at your play place, at your neighborhood. All my neighbors know us, and they love us, even if they don't understand us. And they should not hate you all. Amen? When we first started as a ministry, there was a church down the road that was having outside meetings, and they were getting all kinds of persecution. You know, the very first, 1990, we were trying to have church in that front building. We had to go to a board meeting or a township meeting. Do you know that we had all kinds of opposition there? Oh, we don't want a church there. Look at all the problems they're causing down the road and all that. And I thought, huh. And so I said, well. And they said, are you going to have outside tent meetings? I says, well, that's not on my heart at this point, but I don't want to commit that we might not. So for that first year that we're on probation, we had our kids give baskets of fruit, baskets of flowers to all our neighbors. When we came back after a year, they were standing and cheering us. We want you to stay, Shield of Faith. Do you ever notice you can take a stance, well, everybody's against us, or you can plant love into people's lives, and all of a sudden you can win their hearts. Love covers a multitude of transgressions. Amen? So are you empowered to see yourself as a mighty man, woman of God? Do you understand why you're here? Do you understand why it's important that we believe God for others because it's not just about us? Do you see why Pastor Mike and I are trying to get you to see yourself as your discipler and why we're trying to get you to lay hands on people and pray for people? Don't preach at people. Love people, and they'll want what you got. Stand to your feet, body of Christ. A song? If you've ever gone to when we've ever done internments where they don't have instruments at graveyards, internments, you know, the last, you'll see me rely on my wife. Honey, get me going. Now, and I appreciate Pastor Mike because he'll just step out there, so bless his heart. Anyway, praise God. Raise your hands towards heaven this morning. And all you that are viewing, we're part of God's body. You're part of God's body. We stand. We stand as warriors of God, Father God. And I thank you for the impartation of faith in the vision that you planted in our lives and in our heart. And I pray that same thing over the airways, Lord. Father, equip this body to do the work of the ministry. Let them see themselves as mighty men and women of war. And let them see that their enemy is not people. And Father, we pray and we stand in agreement. We commit to one another to do all things we can to be an unbeatable team for you, Jesus. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And all of us in agreement said amen. Love on one another. Hug on one another. Let your brothers and sisters know how much you appreciate them coming out today.